Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Daisy Take. I'm your host, Daisy Elizabeth, and I want to welcome you here. If you're new here, hi, and welcome. And I hope that you hit that subscribe button or that little check mark and never miss an episode. And if you've been listening, thank you so much. I appreciate you, and thank you for sticking with me. Information for today's podcast comes from allthat'sinteresting.com and Wikipedia. Yeah. This episode contains subject matters that may be sensitive to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Now, have you ever heard of Jean Spangler? You know what? I hadn't either, but I started looking through these old Hollywood newsletters, news clippings, things like that. And I found this disappearance of Jean Spangler. She disappeared October 7th, 1949. And she was an American actress. She had appeared in you know, little parts in several Hollywood films in the late 1940s. She gained public attention for her disappearance. Now, to me, that was strange because she's been missing for a long time and nothing's ever been found of her. She was born in Seattle and she attended high school in Los Angeles, California. Before her film career began in 1948, appearing as a dancer and several unaccredited roles, you know, Walter Long's When My Baby Smiles at Me, Chicken Every Sunday, a musical drama, A Man with a Horn, you know, all these titles of these movies in the 1940s and 50s have such kooky titles. I thought they were really cute. On the evening of October 7th, 1949, she left her home in Los Angeles, telling her sister-in-law she was going to meet with her ex-husband, going to work as an extra on a film set. She was last seen at a grocery store several blocks from her house at approximately 6 p.m. Now, 2 days later, her purse would be discovered in Griffith Park, and I have been to Griffith Park. That place is the most wonderful, eeriest, haunting place. There's spirits there. There is. They say it's haunted, and I believe it's true. Approximately 5.5 miles from her home, inside there was a letter addressed to Kirk, which mentioned seeing a doctor. Now, she was working on a recent film, A Young Man with a Horn, starring Kirk Douglas. And they believe that's who the note was to, Kirk. He called police to clear his name, telling them he was in Palm Springs at the time, which, you know, of course, police accepted, because they didn't have anything other than his word. And, you know, even if he was involved, which I am not saying that he was, police would have bought anything that he said anyway, because, well, he was Kirk Douglas. So her disappearance ended up generating millions of theories, which ranged from her death in a botched abortion, her fleeing with Los Angeles gangsters, and she was acquainted with them. To this day, her additional evidence has never been uncovered in her case, and her whereabouts remain unknown. Like, they never found her. They never found her body. They never found anything but the purse and the note. And I think a piece of denim or something. So that Friday, she left her home in Los Angeles. She said she left with her daughter with Sophie and said she was going to meet Benner to discuss late child support payments. Now, Benner, I guess, was her ex-husband, and she did have a daughter. And after that, she was going to work, at the film. Now, 2 hours after leaving, she called home and spoke with Sophie as well as her daughter. She said she would have to work a full 8 hours and would probably not return home that evening. Now, at the time, her mother was out of town visiting family in Louisville, Kentucky. And the following morning, Sophie, which I believe is her sister-in-law, went to the police to file a missing persons report because she never returned home. Now, at the time, she told her sister-in-law that she was going to work on the film set, but police had checked with the studios and found no record indicating that she had worked that night. And the film studios also confirmed that there was no movies in production on that night. She also checked with the Screen Extras Guild. So I guess when you're in Hollywood, there's an Actor Screen Guild, there's an Extra Screen Guild. I mean, there's like little, I don't know if they're paper or what they're called, but you have to be a member of like certain things. So, which I thought was kind of interesting. Now, that's when the following day her purse was found near the Ferndale, the entrance to Griffith Park. And one of the purse's double-handed sides was ripped off. Now, that indicated to them that there was a possible struggle. The purse's contact were intact and undisturbed, but there was that puzzling handwritten note that said, "Kirk can't wait any longer. Going to see Dr. Scott. It will work out for the best this way while mother's away." The note wasn't signed and it ended in a comma. And that led investigators to believe that she didn't finish writing on it. The whole thing is very weird. It's very like, where did she go? I assume she was murdered, and maybe her body was just hidden. With every lead dead end, the press circled back, perhaps, to the 1947 unsolved murder of Elizabeth Short. Now, that was the Black Dahlia. And if you've never heard about that case, you really need to take a deep dive into Google. I'm going to talk about her one day. But that is a big, deep dive and a gruesome, gruesome murder. That's a black hole you can fall down, okay? You can really fall down the rabbit hole with that one. So, with her being an aspiring actress and her disappearance, and her appearance was eerily similar to Elizabeth Short, like she looked a lot like her. There was a lot of people that jumped to the conclusion that the one that murdered Elizabeth Short must have murdered Jean Spangler. Now, in recent years, the son of the prime suspect in the Black Dahlia case has come forward to suggest his father may have been responsible for both murders. However, according to Entertainment Weekly, Steve Hodell believes his father, a sexually vivacious celebrity doctor named George Hodell, was the Black Dahlia killer. The fact that Spangler's ripped purse was found mere miles from Dr. Hodel's lavish home. Now, I have been to that home in 2019, went to go to Dr. George Hodel's house. And I'll tell you something, it's right on the side of the street. It's like you could be driving on the opposite side, make a U-turn and park just right in front of his house. And that's what we did. Of course, we didn't go in. Of course, the gates were locked, whatever. But you can look outside this house, and if you've ever researched the house or Dr. Hodel, it's a very eerie house. It's got the columns, and you've got to see it. You've got to look it up online. Actually, next Friday, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Black Dahlia. We're going to talk about George Hodel. We're going to take a deep dive, and it's going to take me all week to fall into that rabbit hole. So that's what he was saying. Now, his son believes that George Hodel was the Black Dahlia killer. And apparently his son was an LAPD detective. Now, her purse was ripped and it was found miles from, you know, Dr. Hodel's lavish home. In either murder, it'll likely remain... it's going to remain speculation because nobody knows what happened to this woman. After only 3 weeks, the investigation into her disappearance seemed to be running on fumes. The only thing we've been able to find out is that this girl really got around, one detective wearily admitted to the press. That is such crap. I'm sorry. You know, just because you're a woman, you know, and you're an actress, you know, and men say you get around, maybe she didn't get around, who knows? But I think that's a kind of a crap thing to say, you know. So she was apparently linked to a wealthy nightclub owner, a rich playboy, and a prominent educator. And an assortment of actors and jet setters, as well as gangsters. Now, in that era, Hollywood and the mingling of mobsters and studio moguls and movie stars was not that uncommon. Like, mobsters and the movies were like hand in hand. You know, so it really wasn't that uncommon for, you know, the actors and the actresses to mingle with mobsters. And they would routinely, you know, rub shoulders with each other. Now, she was seeing David Little Davy, an associate and bodyguard of the notorious Jewish mobster, Mickey Cohen. Witnesses even recalled seeing her and Ogle together in Palm Springs a week before she vanished. The only problem with that story is Ogle, who was under indictment for conspiracy, disappeared himself a couple of days later before she did. An FBI informant named Salvatore Piscopo, I hope I'm saying that correctly, I apologize if I'm not, reported that while Ogle was a member of Mickey Cohen's crime group, he was murdered at the instigation of the Los Angeles Mafia family for allegedly talking to law enforcement. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, you know, but it sounds like it is. I mean, you know, that part could be true. Now, there was sightings of Gene and Ogle were everywhere. They were widespread as far as El Paso, Phoenix, Mexico City, and San Francisco. But investigators found no supporting evidence. It's almost like they walked off the face of the earth. And why would she leave her five-year-old daughter behind? She was fighting for custody. She wanted child support. Why is she going to leave her daughter behind? I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And her case remains unsolved to this day. And there's been no trace of her since October 7th, 1949. When she crossed her fingers and winked at her sister-in-law, saying, "Wish me luck," before disappearing off into the night. Maybe it was her ex-husband who had something to do with it. I don't know. Shortly after she disappeared, custody of her daughter, Christine, was temporarily awarded to her ex. The following year, a custody battle ensued between her ex and her mother, which whom he denied visitation with. And he defied a court order that was allowing her mother to visit the child. He was ordered to serve 15 days in jail for being in contempt of court. He fled California with his daughter and later settled in Florida, and he died on May 7th, 2007 in Jacksonville, Florida. Jean is still listed as a missing person, and the LAPD has not closed the case. I'm sure that there's a whole rabbit hole I could jump into on this one, because I just don't understand how people disappear. And I have said it time and time again. When you disappear, where the hell do you go? Where the F do you go? That's what I want to know. How can somebody visibly just walk off the face of the earth and never been found again? The only thing they found was her purse and a note. There's a lot of speculation. You know, there's Kirk Douglas, there's Mafia, there's, you know, studio heads, there's this, there's a lot of things. But how do you just disappear? Not even a bone, not nothing. That's what I want to know. So if you have a good answer for me, let me know. TheDaisyTake@gmail.com. I want to thank you for joining me today on The Daisy Take, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Join me for Murdered and Missing Monday on Monday. Be kind to one another and join me next Friday as we talk about the Black Dahlia, George Hodel, and the whole mystery behind that. Be kind to one another. Love you. Bye.